Seems to me I have a sermon in here somewhere. Let me look. Hold on. By golly, there it is. Are you grateful? I am most grateful. Richard's reading just heard is the... Melba's reading just heard is the impetus for the sermon this morning. Mark 10, you heard about blind Bartimaeus. Blind man sitting by the side of the road and implores Jesus, who restores his sight. You have to, in biblical context, it's always important to be aware of what has happened and where you are on the journey. They had entered Jericho and were leaving, but just before that, as they were coming in the beginning of chapter 10 in Mark, the sons of Zebedee, John and James, you remember those two? They snuck up to Jesus and said, "Lord, grant us a wish. We grant that we sit one of us on your right hand, one of your left hand in your new kingdom. When you get elected, can we be top honchos? Can we have power and status just below yours? We want to be famous and powerful and influential and have all the benefits that come with it. Can you let us do that? We're the two brothers sitting at your two hands." And he says, "You have no idea what you're asking." They didn't know what that meant. They had heard, but they didn't hear. They didn't know. Then he tells them about his passion. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be taken and captured and questioned and beaten and scourged and spit upon and then killed. And he paints them the picture. He explains it to them and they hear the words because they're with him and the teacher is right there to teach them. He paints them a clear picture, but they are blind to what he is saying to them. They only see his majesty and power and the movement that is a part of what's going on and their potential for being a part of such a wonderful movement and the esteem that might come. So then we turn to the passage that Melba read, and it is there. They've been in Jericho, and now they're leaving. And it's a large crowd. So this is quite the procession. This is a bunch of people. And have you ever been in one of those? A parade, a big gathering, a wonderful gathering. It's exciting, isn't it? I haven't been to a parade in a while, but I have to confess something. It's kind of silly, but whenever a parade comes and the flag comes by with the honor guard, I get a lump in my throat. And I just stop and a tear might come to eye. Because the flag and the nation it stands for are important. And the honor guard representing that and their earnestness. And I want to be earnest about my patriotism, my patriotic duty. We don't get as many chances to do that in a parade with God, do we? But here is a parade, and Jesus is in the midst of that. All this excitement going on, and you can imagine the entourage and the carrying on. And there's this fella off to the side, and he's shouting. And the people try and hush him. And Jesus stops. The whole thing, you can imagine, everything is stop. And he says, "Bring him over. What do you want me to do for you?" That's the question that Jesus asks Bartimaeus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus knew, Jesus is aware, everything is there. But does Bartimaeus know what he wants? What do you want? Do you want to be one at my right hand and one at my left hand in the coming kingdom? You want power, esteem, glory? "My teacher, let me see again." It's the Christian question. It's the one that we always need to re-ask ourselves over and over again. "Lord, guide me to see again what you are calling me to do and where we're supposed to be going. I seem to have lost my path a bit. Redirect me, Lord. Let me see again." And Jesus says to him, go, your faith has made you well. And not only does he regain his vision and his sight, but he joins the gathering. He joins the entourage and the travelers. When a person loses their sight and Jesus restores it, it is the faith that the person has for Jesus that gives us that gift. Your faith has made you well. It's an important passage. And it's an important pericope. It's pivotal to what's going on. I have to tell you that I was a bit unsettled. I hadn't really focused on all of it until I was working on the sermon this week. But we traveled to Grand Junction, and I thought, look at the beautiful, the color, as we were in some of the mountain valleys, and the color was there. It was just about perfect. We were commenting this morning that the color here in town is vivid. We've missed that in several years, snowfalls and early freezes and what have you. But I thought, boy, this is great. I'm going to be able to go back to the church and say, I got to see all the colors and you didn't. But I've come back and found more vibrant colors here than before. But on the trip, I was a bit unsettled. Coming back, especially, we were traveling back between Grand Junction and Aurora, 4.5 hours. And bladders don't care. And so somewhere along the way, one has to pause. And so we paused halfway as Eagle, and we had stopped there. And we stopped in Eagle, and we went into the Quickie Mart there and use the facilities, and I always feel obligated to buy something, so we bought something terrible for us. And we were walking up to the counter, and the person in front of me, long brown hair. And what do they call those when you put the squeegee thing around a ponytail? What is it, Holly? It's a little rubbery thing, and you put around and it holds the hair together?
It's a scrunchie.
It is a scrunchie. Hey, I've got the right word accidentally. So long that there were about four. And long hair. And a purse on the shoulder that hang down right about on this left pocket. I thought, you don't see long hair like that very often. And we were standing at the counter, and the clerks were over at the side trying to figure something out about a delivery that was being made. And the person in front of me turned and had a mustache and beard. I went, oh, okay. But it just startled me because, you see, I'd made some assumptions there, and there I was, and I thought, boy, I'm glad I didn't say, excuse me, ma'am, or something, and get myself in trouble. The clerk comes over. Clerk is wearing a mask, so you can't see this part of it. He's wearing a hat, so you can't see anything. So all there are these two eyes, high-pitched voice. Hi, you give everything? Did you find everything? Okay, it'll be this much. Dinner received? No, thank you. Okay, have a good day. And the guy in front of me turns and walked off. And I stepped up, and the name on the clerk was definitely a man's name. I've been struggling to remember what it was, but I just know that I read the name two or three times, because I'd heard the voice and I'd already made the determination that the clerk was female. And this was a man's name, and I thought, I'm kind of confused around here. And the clerk asked us again in that high-pitched voice, and served us, did a perfect job, very polite, and we went on our way. So I thought, well, at least I didn't get my foot in my mouth anywhere in there. But then we decided to stop for lunch in Idaho Springs, and we went into Idaho Springs McDonald's. You ever heard of McDonald's? Mickey D's, and a lot of people, and we're all standing around waiting. You order at a kiosk now. You go and you talk to the computer, and you have to argue and sometimes do things two or three times. It's wonderful. And we got a number, and you wait for your number to be called, and they'll give you your whatever you ordered there, you hope. In front of me, work boots, blue jeans, blue shirt, working cap, working person. Okay. Didn't see anything but the back of them. Stocky. You think, now this is the kind of person you want if you've got a job to do, some kind of help. Clerk came up the counter and says, "Can I help you, ma'am?" And I froze because I thought, that's not, and the person walked right up and they had a conversation. And I thought, what is going on here? I could have, if you'd, I'd have bet money that this was a male standing in front of me. And I couldn't see their face, but maybe the clerk knew who it was, knew this person, and knew it was a ma'am instead of a sir or what have you. But it just unsettled me. I thought, I'm not going to speak to anybody anywhere, anyhow, anywhere again. Because, you know, the best I can do is when I put my foot in my mouth is wiggle my toes. I don't know what else to do here. I was truly unsettled. And the Western Slope is not like some very, it wasn't like I had traveled to the free nation of Boulder and that there were a lot of interesting things going on that one would expect. So I was unsettled. And I pondered this and I thought, what is it that makes it important to me to know a person's gender? What does that matter? And I began to think about that, and on top of that, the conference has now hired a non-binary person. The person's name is Court. Doesn't use he or she or him or her, or uses they. Doesn't identify as male or female. And I thought, oh Lord, how am I going to be in conversation with a person without letting my mouth get ahead of my brain and put my foot in my mouth and do those mistaken things? And I thought about that and I thought, well, I'm just not going to talk ever again. Thank you, Sandy. Thank you. You're naughty. You're off the birthday list. God would not let me not speak, though. God does not allow us to just turn into hermits and retreat and fall back away and avoid all of that, those sorts of things. And God never has. This is not a new phenomenon. As I think about it, we have always been in the midst of amazing changes that have been a challenge to us. The one that got me when I was in high school, I remember, they said, the doctor will be in a moment. And a woman came in, and I waited, and the doctor was the woman. And I didn't make the connection until we were about halfway through the discussion of things. But now I think most of us can understand it can be male, female as a doctor. We're adjusting to that gender is not specific. And so we've loosened and grown and gained in our ability to be in the world without making those faux pas. And Christ won't let us not be engaged. I said that all the way backwards, didn't I? Christ demands that we go into the world and make disciples. That's what we are. That's the definition of an apostle. And that's what we are about, and we have to do that. And we need to offer Christ. And sometimes we even have to use words. So that's all right. I had to stop and think all of this through, and then I said, Lord, let me see again. Give me vision again. Open my ears that I might hear again and hear the diversity of people and the diversity of genders and the diversity of your wonderful creation that is so full and so vibrant. And let me be the pastor you've called me to be to them. The psalm speaks to that. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Oh, amen. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. There we are. That's what we're about. We will make mistakes. I will be the first one on the block. I will make those mistakes and people might even get upset with me, I will turn to God and I will not be ashamed because I will be offering Christ. And we will do the same. Amen? Amen.